Yeah.
I thought that. I was like, huh.
Guess it's time.
It's time. And December 15th, the Planning Commission is now called to order. Commissioner Schmidt, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
Please join the Planning Commission and place your hand over heart and repeat the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Annette, could we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Benz.
Present.
Commissioner Colamarino.
Here.
Commissioner Schmidt.
Here.
Commissioner Ward.
Here.
Commissioner Sturtevant.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Moreno.
Here.
And Chairperson Jack.
Here.
All present.
Thank you.
Move approval of the agenda.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Commissioner Benz moved approval of the agenda, and Vice Chair Moreno seconded. We have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Benz?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Commissioner Ward?
Seeing none, we'll close public comment. Is there any particular Planning Commission business at this moment? Okay. Consent calendar.
Move approval of consent calendar, all items.
Do I have a second?
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
On two of these, I was absent. Is that something that I need to pull and vote separately on, or how does that work?
I believe... from a technical standpoint, we should pull the two that he was not present on?
Yeah, typically what we do is we'll vote on the one that everyone was present on and then vote separately on the other two.
Okay.
Very good. Now I'd like to pull items 3 and 4.
Approved by the maker of the motion.
I have a question about item 2.
So we can pull it?
Well, just a quick question.
Okay.
Commissioner Schmidt, I thought you had voted yes on the item number 2. We've got the minutes. Or, I'm sorry, item number 1. I'm sorry, I'm talking about item number 1, number 2. Number 1, I thought you had voted yes.
On the consent calendar, item 1, approval of the minutes.
October 20th minutes.
Okay, maybe I'm...
Are you referring to the minutes?
I'm talking... Okay, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm looking at the minutes from October 20th. The public hearing number 2 on the Encino Avenue.
On page 5 of the staff report.
On page 5 of 6, yes.
Yes, I did vote yes.
Okay.
We had our discussion about the about the easement, and despite my concerns, I did vote for the project.
No, that wasn't the easement. That was the $18,000 in mitigation fees.
Oh,
this is for Messer.
We're going back.
Yeah.
And that's on page 5 of 6, item number 1.
I did vote yes on that also.
Okay.
Yes, you did.
So did you get that, Annette? On item number 1, page 5 of 6, the motion by Commissioner Benz, seconded by myself, the resolution 2009-0031, and it says passed 5-2, Colamarino and Schmidt opposed, Schmidt approved.
Okay, I'll re-listen to the tape, and if that's correct, I'll go ahead and change that.
Okay. Thank you.
That might have been one of my long-winded... yeses, I think.
Yes. Yes, I recall. Okay, so we've got items 3 and 4.
1 and 2.
So we could we
move approval
to number 2.
Okay, motion passes 7-0.
Okay. Can we take up item number three first? Or we can do them probably both.
Make a motion to approve three and four.
Second.
Commissioner Benz moved to approve, seconded by Vice Chair Moreno. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Benz?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner Colmarino?
Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Commissioner Ward?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturtevant?
Abstain.
And Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0 with one abstention.
Thank you. Let's see. Okay, there are no... Under the... we have one item this evening under public hearings. Is there any experte? I'll start from the left and move to the right. Commissioner...
Yeah, Ward, yes. I went out to the property today. I spent about 40 minutes there. I didn't see anybody. But I did receive a memo from one of the principals that prepared a planning consultant suggesting that we call them if we needed any assistance, and I declined to call.
Commissioner Colmarino?
I received the same memo that Commissioner Ward referred to, and I didn't follow up on it.
Commissioner Benz?
I visited the property. I received the same email, but did not respond to the email. I just went out and looked at the property by myself and didn't talk to anyone.
I did visit the property. And I met Tammy Poe at the property, and we walked the property, and she showed me where all the building envelopes were proposed, and we looked at the trees, et cetera. So.
I received the email from Tammy Poe. I did not follow up. I visited the site, but no ex parte.
I visited the site and spoke with no one.
Senior planner, and the item before you tonight is at 9080 San Rafael Drive. It is a request for a vesting tentative tract map to create five residential parcels. There's also a tree removal request. There's a little over 14 acres on this existing site, and the five lots will range from 2.71 to 3.20 acres. These lots were figured by use of the city's matrix in the ordinance to determine the lot sizes. There will be 17, I think, a few less trees because of the large storm we had. And I gave you a letter from A&T Arborist that I just received, and also a summary matrix of the fees that are involved. And I'd like to give an explanation of that after we're through with the slideshow.
Okay. Very good.
This is the location. It's zone residential suburban, and you can see the site. Most of you said you'd been out there, but I'm sure you know where it is. The description is that you probably noticed when you're out there, it's gently rolling. It has a number of trees, most of which are closer to the road. The rear, almost one half, has been used like for cattle grazing, and it's fairly devoid of any trees. It's mostly grassland. Staff required the identification of the future building envelopes in order to protect the trees that are there. And should this project be successful, and if you approve it, future owners would have to come in, and through the building permit process, we would review each of the building envelopes and any tree issues. And here is some of what you saw, those who went out. The front section is this one here, which is closer to the road, more trees. And in the back, this is a very back-looking, almost to the back, looking forward. So you can see there's not much tree cover at that location. Here is the proposed subdivision map with the arborist notes on top. And you can see that the can get it. The individual envelopes on the first, second, and I believe the fifth parcel up here are shown, and that's mostly where the trees are. The trees kind of end about right here. So those did not necessarily need envelopes back there, but they're shown anyway. And each parcel will have a septic tank. City staff required soil percolation testing, preliminary drainage plan, and a detailed arborist report. Based on this information, plus several site visits, determination by staff was that a mitigated negative declaration would be appropriate, which you are going to review tonight. It says click to add title. That's a fun discovery. This is a proposed vesting map, and this shows the five lots in here, and then it shows the entrance. Where did that one come from? The environmental issues were a majority of the trees are located near San Rafael. The proposed access could not go in anywhere from San Rafael without encountering trees, so some trees had to be removed. The tree protection plan has been prepared, and it will be monitored during any grading activity or future construction. I already mentioned the building envelopes on lots 1, 2, and 5. The preliminary site grading and drainage plan was prepared by certified engineers. Detention basins will most likely be required for the lots. The initial study concluded that there would be no significant impact as a result of the proposed subdivision, provided that the mitigation that was included was part of the decision, and it is or will be. The general plan consistency with regard to this is that we are maintaining the minimum lot sizes of 2.5 to a range of 10 acres. And there are performance standards that we use throughout our process of review, grading, and building permits that will be applied. The general plan consistency is such that the building sites shall minimize disruption of any slopes, native vegetation, and watershed by careful selection of building sites, and that includes the use of the envelopes, leach fields, driveways, building designs that are appropriate for hillside locations, although this is a fairly gentle area, so that was the entire policy. We also require that lot line adjustments and tentative subdivision maps on sites with 25% or greater native tree canopy cover to establish locations of building sites, and we did that. So that was another consistency item. In conclusion, staff recommends that the proposed parcels are consistent with a subdivision ordinance and with a general plan, and that appropriate mitigation has been included. But tree number 4... had failure at one time at the base, and it still can be saved. And can you see where that is? You push that right there. She'll try to point out tree 4.
Don't even bother.
No, just the top button. Oh, I think she's hit something that changes
it's
the...
It's fuzzy. Okay.
You hit some other button that made it look... Okay, try
right.
That one.
Why can't we look at it?
Yeah, just the top, like a little star. Okay, thank you. Tree 12, the entire tree collapsed 6 feet off the ground, so that's one less tree with an act of Mother Nature. Trees 26 and 33 had significant limb failures. Tree 26 will need to be limbed, and it can be saved. And tree 131... is located along the driveway to lot 1, so that would be up front where it's heavily treed. It had past failures. It lost one of its 3 scaffolds. During this storm, it lost another scaffold, and it presents a hazard and will need to be removed. So that's the fate of those trees. Also, the other handout was the matrix that we used to figure out the fees. And if you look, you'll see that the total fees are $3,108 and some odd cents. That is the mitigation for the removal of the trees. And we may have to alter that slightly for the one tree that fell over in the storm. However, how those fees are paid is they're paid with the building permit. So if this is approved and someone comes in with, say, lot 1 plans, we will review it and collect the fees for any trees on that particular lot. And so goes the rest of the project. So most of the fees will be impact fees on those up close, closer lots, 1, 2, and 5. So that concludes my report.
Thank you, Mimi. A couple of quick questions. They do have the option of replanting some trees?
They do have that option. They haven't indicated that yet.
Okay. And then on the building envelopes, 1, 2, and 5 are required, but I thought I heard you say that you were recording all 5.
On the tentative map.
Well, does anyone, any of the commissioners have any questions of staff? Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes, please, and I have several. First comment, though, you had mentioned about the building envelopes, and I'm looking at the drawing that was provided within the packet and the exhibit, larger exhibit. Are those units, the outlines of the units shown on that drawing, the actual footprints of the buildings that are being proposed?
No,
will the builder,
they are not. What we do is we provide an envelope and for in which you would put or design a building. And we also show where the leach field would go and an alternative location for the leach field.
So it has 100% expansion area?
Well, you know, they could move it, shift it a little bit one way or the other, but the goal is to not remove any more trees.
Well, the regional board, and I'm sure the city does, you have your expansion area, plus you have to set aside
yes.
the other 100% in case failure. Will it be possible to adjust the envelopes at a future date?
Well, that's what I was just alluding to. It's possible to adjust a little bit. It's not the intent of doing this. If you can adjust in such a way that it makes it a better project and it doesn't remove trees, mm-hmm. then it's possible.
Will the applicant have to come in for reconsideration to adjust the envelope, or is it within the 10% purview of the staff?
Well, if it's within that 10% purview, the director would normally oversee that decision.
But there is a possibility to reconsider if, for whatever reason, someone wanted to.
If it's more than 10%, or we feel, or the director feels that it should come back to the commission, then it would come back.
That option is available.
Yes.
Thank you. On page 31 of the staff report, at the very bottom of the page, there is a statement, no comments were received except from the Atascadero Mutual Water Company, which recommended use of water-wise plants. And looking through the report, I didn't see any reference to that recommendation from the water company. And I'm wondering if why there isn't a mitigation measure suggesting to do so, or a condition or a requirement within the CC&Rs that future builders or homeowners shall comport with the water company's conservation measures. I looked them up online. They have 8 of them, home water survey, water irrigation, water quality and pesticides, sustainable landscape elements, mulching, plant selection, gardening under oak. The listing of the trees to be removed by the arborist in his original report. The one diagram that was provided in this staff report that had the X's and was pretty hard to for me to discern which trees were which. So I went to the 24 by 36 exhibit that was provided and identified trees that I thought were going to be removed that were within the road section or the private drive going in, and identified 17 trees, but it wasn't the same sizes that were listed in the report. Is there any requirement that there be some type of a rectification of plans before trees are removed, or do we just stick to the arborist report and the sizes and locations of trees in which he's identified?
Well, you know, the city works with A&T quite a bit, and they go out just like they're supposed to do and all the arborists do, and they tag all the trees and they mark the ones that are to be removed. When we were out on the site, we could see those tags.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go tree by tree and do a corresponding, you know, match with the list. But if you care to let me know tomorrow, perhaps, which ones you thought might be.
I was comparing to the ones that are noted on this drawing. And, for instance, I can't find a 40-inch tree within the drawing shown. And not to say that this drawing isn't old, trees grow, you know, whatever. I just want to make sure that the trees that are noted to be removed are the ones that will be removed.
Yeah. Okay, I'd be happy to go work with you a little further to double-check some of that.
And just kind of a comment. The pine trees, I don't know if the arborist is here. They noted just pine trees. I believe they're digger pines. Digger pines are actually the most indigenous tree to our area. In fact, if you look at the Sunset Western Garden Book, we live in the digger pine region. We don't live in a valley oak region or a coastal oak region or a blue oak region. So I'm kind of wondering why, as a city, we don't have highlight the digger tree as a tree of species of concern. On page 76 of the report, there's a discussion about hydrology and water quality. This is in the initial study that was prepared. And there is a reference to using the city's shallow basin criteria for detention and retention basin. I do note that you said
at the end of the cul-de-sac, there's a note on the grading and drainage plan prepared by the applicant's engineer, and that will address that runoff at that location. And it'll provide drainage easements across those, whichever parcel, lot three or four, which will bear the runoff from that basin.
Are we going to, although we haven't implemented the new requirements that are coming down from the state, are we going to suggest maybe LIDs or something, maybe some linear basins along the roadway versus a basin at the end or anything like that to do any filtering?
Yeah, we've left that open to the applicants who provide that, you know, those designs and their ideas for their stormwater system.
Okay, good. Page 89 of the staff report, item 5, refers to the creation of the building envelopes and refers to a separate, almost like a separate document, a separate attachment. Is that meaning a completely separate document, or are we talking about an additional map sheet that will be added to the final map?
An additional map sheet so that it's clear to future purchasers of a property.
And then my last question has to do with on page 95 of the mitigation measures, item number 33, they talk about there's a discussion about a 6-foot public utility easement, which we all know is, you know, standard language to go along frontages of roads. When you look at the drawings that have been prepared, there are a number of oak trees that are in that will be within that 6-foot PUE. It seems to me it's foreseeable that the easement's going to be used. If it's going to be trenched, then those trees are going to be impacted by the trenching. If it's not going to be trenched, then it'll be overhead. And we've all seen, you know, along our roadways where people plant trees underneath power lines, and you get these big dishes cut out of the trees when the utility companies come through. Should that area be addressed by the arborist report?
Mr. Fraze tells me that that will be part of the model.
To be there, and what happens with the trees happens with the trees.
Typically, any utilities that are going to go in will be put in by the developer as part of the road project, so it'll be part of the site improvements that will be monitored by the arbor. So if there's a gas line or underground electrical line or cable line that needs to go through there, that's going to be part of the public improvements. Very unlikely that a utility company is going to come back later and put something else in addition to whatever the developer puts in initially.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions? Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yes, Director Frace. I noticed on San Rafael there was a sewer going down the middle of that street, and I was curious why these parcels are on septic and not on sewer.
I'll refer that to David Athey.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, the current municipal code and the plumbing code call for connecting to sewer when the sewer, the nearest sewer connection point is within 200 feet of the proposed structure, or the, in this case, it would be the subdivision. So the sewer, actually, the next closest clean out where we'd connect, put a manhole in, is farther than 200 feet away from this property, so the applicant's not required to hook up the sewer. And also the minimum lot size here is well above 1 acre, so it meets the minimum requirement for septic systems.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Commissioner Ward?
Yes. When I went out to the property, I noticed several of the large oak trees were really in dire need of pruning, as evidenced by several of the limbs have fallen down the last rainstorm. And also, in reading in detail the arborist report, he recommended that. My question is, suppose after the map, nothing gets built on it for several years. I guess my thought would be that early on in the program, I think the trees that are in danger, that aren't going to be cut down, but that are going to be part of the landscaping, need to be properly pruned. And I was wondering if that could be a condition of approving this. Seems to me to be reasonable.
Is just part of the natural process and not something we typically try to get involved in.
Thank you.
Okay. Vice Chair Moreno?
Along the lines of the tree, you said the pruning doesn't improve tree health, and I wondered, because so many of the projects that we look at, the tree health, I never see a 10 or a 9 or an 8. I mean, you know, most tree health is like 6 seems to be the highest. And is that, I'm curious, is that pretty standard? I mean, so pruning doesn't, I mean, I know we're here not here for a tree pruning lesson, but.
Well, I'm not an expert on this, but from what I've seen working with arborists is most of the trees that, you know, are the big beautiful oak trees are typically very old, and they've got some sort of problem just because they're elderly trees. Mm-hmm. The smaller trees typically don't, but we don't pay that much attention to them.
Okay.
In terms of the pruning on them, you have to prune those big trees carefully. You can prune them up so they look real pretty, but a lot of times you're going to add stress to the tree. They get light on the trunk that they're not used to. It forces new growth on them. Mm-hmm. So, and there's been it seems like the theories with arborists have changed between, yeah, lightening them up and pruning them out, which helps them in, you know, to maybe withstand a windstorm. But a lot of times there's a lot of, you know, just the cuts and the scars don't heal. Those introduce rot. So it seems like the pruning has the potential to actually increase the decline. It might reduce the hazard in the short term, but it seems like long term, all those scars and the regrowth that happens after the pruning tend to not really help the trees out that much.
Okay. And then I did have a question on page 34, the rights of the vesting maps. The first sentence, which is a very long one, the vested right to proceed, and standard, in the substantial earnest pleasure, unless the local agency determines to amend any ordinance, policy, or standard at a public meeting. So does that mean whatever, they can be in compliance tonight, but before the project's built, if the standard changes, even though it's already been approved, they're subject to whatever comes down the pike?
That's my understanding, and you can thank the state legislature for creating these long sentences.
I swear I read it like 10 times. I mean, like, what? Okay.
That's true, although in my experience it doesn't happen very often, but there's sometimes good reasons that things come about.
So it's not just
if required approvals or permits. Mm-hmm. I mean, if the law changes or we discover some better way to do something, we write it into an ordinance and it's reasonable, it can be imposed, like with a building permit or a grading permit.
Okay, but if they've already pulled permits, then they're... Yeah,
mostly what it has to do with is density. Land use issues.
Okay. And Then just quickly, naturally occurring asbestos. I didn't go research that. I have heard the term before. And what does it naturally occur from?
You know, that's a good question. I haven't been here too long, and I haven't found out the answer. But I understand that we regularly impose it. And I don't know how many other jurisdictions do, but there's always a chance that you would have asbestos in the soil. And so you don't want to, air quality doesn't want you to kick it up in the air. So maybe Warren has some additional thoughts on the matter.
It seems like it typically occurs in the serpentine rock, and that's kind of that greenish rock that you see in, like on Cuesta Grade and some of the kits. So that the white veins are typically asbestos.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that.
Okay. Any other? Commissioner Schmidt?
I'd like to pick up on the discussion about the vested map. I have a map back out in my car I can go get. Substantial compliance with any new ordinance, policy, or standard at the time of its approval. Isn't the language accepted, not approval? It's when the map is accepted for processing is when the vesting is locked in.
Yes, when it's accepted, that's correct.
So not approval. So we may approve it tonight, but the vesting status was locked in whenever this map was accepted by staff a year ago, whatever.
When it was complete.
Okay. Would we like to change that language or just let that be?
I took it out of the State Subdivision Map Act, so I don't know what to.
Okay.
It's in the staff report, and it probably doesn't matter.
A lot of times we do to answer questions about the vesting status. And also, a lot of times developers are concerned about changes in infrastructure, changes in pipe sizes, things like that. And so the vested language is used to protect those things. What's been occurring, a lot of agencies have been adopting ordinance language that says, for instance, the county has a Quimby ordinance, which is for parks. So what you are vesting is that language which says.
And just please state your name for the record, please.
Spot on. I've never been before you before. Good evening. My name is Tammy Poe, and I am the agent for the applicant and owner, Wes O'Reilly. I'm not going to go through the whole presentation again because I believe staff did a good job of accurately showing what is that we are trying to do. I did want to address your comment. I didn't hear all of Commissioner Schmidt, your comment regarding how the trees are identified on the map versus the A&T Arborist report. To give you a little idea, this map started with one surveying company and over time has gone through two or three surveying companies. And some of the information that was taken in at one point in time then was displayed in a different way another point in time and more trees were identified. A&T Arborist know the dimensions of the trees and their report is the most accurate. We have tried over time to make sure all that information meshes together.
Okay, thank you.
There was one condition that I would like a little clarification on, and it's just kind of a minor one. It was condition number 28, which calls for San Rafael Road to be slurry sealed across the frontage of the property. I'm assuming that this is a standard condition that's just thrown into most conditions of approval, and I just want to make sure that it's not going to come up at the time that they do actually do some development that more road improvements are done when San Rafael Road is already improved.
David Athey, Public Works. Or do you want me to address that right now?
Yes, please.
Okay. We work with applicants typically and look at their frontages and identify what improvements need to be done to the frontage of the property. And in this case, it would be the frontage on Lot 1 along San Rafael Road. In this case, we identified slurry sealing the road, so the applicant would only have to slurry seal the road consistent with the conditions of approval of this map. So there would be no further improvements other than the private road that serves this development, the approach for the road. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I did want to say that the additional condition that was talked about regarding the water conservation, and I take it to read that there is either a no-effect determination that the city can make, and that is in lieu of the fees, CEQA fees, or CEQA fees would be required. So I would like some more clarification on that.
Well, so would I.
Yeah, that is true. We recently received communication from the Department of Fish and Game, something that was very standard-looking. I assume they sent it out all to all cities and counties to alert us to the fact that they were being more vigilant. And they had some new language in there that even we have questioned, and we're at this moment trying to get some answers. Okay. But that's not going to help you. The way we are interpreting it is that if you have, like, tree removal, you've actually removed some habitat, and that's what they're looking at, as opposed to no tree removal, not disturbing any habitat. You're not in a stream bed area. You're not in a riparian corridor doing something. But you are removing trees, and therefore, I think that what their silent message is that not enough of the jurisdictions have been paying attention to the fish and game policies and rules, and they haven't been collecting much in the way of mitigation fees. So it just we're still exploring some answers and trying to get in touch with fish and game.
Then I can talk with you about that, because I know it doesn't affect the approval of the project.
Yeah. Go ahead. I have some more questions on that later. But
well, I didn't have anything more to add, but I am here if there are any questions.
Okay. Thank you. Why don't you wait there until I check and see if any of the commissioners have a question. Commissioner Schmidt?
Your comment about the slurry seal on Rafael Road, how wide is the road right now, the road section out there? Do you know?
I believe it's a standard... I don't know.
The only reason I'm asking is the condition says half the roadway plus 10 feet. So that'll be almost, in my view, effectively the entire road along the front. I mean, the entire width along the frontage is which the slurry seal is going to occur. You are aware of that then?
Yes, I am now.
Okay.
Any other commissioner questions? Thank you very much, Ms. Bo.
Thank you.
Is there anyone from the public that would like to comment?
I'm wondering why that road has to be so close to that fence.
Thank you, Ms. Noel. Tammy, do you have anything for that? Okay, sure. Oh, yeah, we've got them up here and just never use them.
Tammy Poe for the applicant. The red house that she is talking about is way up over here. It's not even shown on this map. There is a parcel that is also owned by the same applicant that is right here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's about a 1 to 2 acre parcel. I'm not exactly sure. And then the house is over here. So this cul-de-sac line actually borders the property, which is also still owned by the same applicant. You're welcome.
Yep. Thank you, Ms. Moe.
Hi, my name is Paul Hyman. And I live around the corner on Colorado. And I had just a couple of observations sitting here tonight. The first is the word estates, suburban estates, does that suggest that this is going to be a locked gate, the private road? So that was the first question. Is it locked, gated, or not gated? My next was following up on one of the commissioners. A lot of us walk on San Rafael. It's a pretty quiet street. Colorado, you can't, you know, is doesn't egress to anywhere. So we walk our dogs. So the utility easement that was referenced in some of the access, the 50-foot access, and just creating the cul-de-sac, my concern would be, is anything else going to be done that would either impede improve or impact in any way just pedestrian traffic, people walking their dogs? Because that's a small road. There are trees that abut. I mean, it's a quiet neighborhood. So that was an observation about that. Then to even more traffic, and I didn't hear anything about thinking farther ahead as this infill and potentially other infills on San Rafael. And somehow, all of a sudden, we've gone from a small community that's pretty quiet with some major impacts to the road. And I disagree with the applicant's proposal that they might have met any responsibilities to the condition of the road. Once they bring in the equipment necessary to build houses, et cetera, yes, they've improved with slurry the access part of it, but driving big trucks that would be part of the build-out for the five homes could impact the road, and I think they ought to be responsible because our rural roads, as it is in Atascadero, barely sort of keep up, and that's an unforeseen thing that I think the applicant, if for some reason all of a sudden the road is degraded in the build-out, they ought to be able to, there ought to be some way to go back and address that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dam. Okay, anyone else? Okay, I'll bring it back to the commission. And Warren or Mimi, could you, let's see, we've got three items. The gated or not, I was not aware.
Suburban estates is just a term for the land use district under right. The general plan, so it has nothing to do with gating. Actually, we have policies that discourage gating, although it could be approved with a fire department approval. In terms of impacts to the pedestrians along the street, I don't think there's any changes proposed along the street. I guess David Atha could tell us exactly what the shoulder condition is going to be. In terms of the Eagle Ranch project, that's a general plan amendment that currently is on hold. We've never got to a point where we actually saw any preliminary plans or any circulation. So at some point, we'll have to figure out that project and its impacts on this neighborhood. But it seems that this project, because of the recession, is on hold indefinitely. So there's no real way to include those impacts in any discussion right now. And then in terms of construction impacts, I defer that to David Athey as well.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Athey?
Yes. In terms of the road shoulder, the 6-foot public utility easement will be for underground utilities, and that will be entirely on damage in that case. And if there was damage, how do you really tie that into the construction traffic versus the existing traffic on the road? And the city would most likely just fill the pothole or make the repair at that point. So we don't have any mechanism to. At this point, there's not enough construction for these 6-5 lots to really be concerned about the short-term impacts from construction traffic.
Okay.
And I might add one other thing. The driveway that is in there is not public. That's a private drive. And
exactly.
All five property owners are going to have to share in the maintenance of that cul-de-sac. Now, whether it's closed or if it were not closed, just open and people wanted to walk, I'm sure that they could walk their dog in along there. But if they decided to make it more private or close it off, which we would not like to see them do, then you wouldn't gain access. But it would become five individual property owners at some point.
As I understand their CC&Rs, it'll cover all of that.
I don't know. They may just have a simple maintenance agreement for the drainage in the roadway.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments or questions? Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yeah, just a clarification on this sheet that's showing us the tree fund payment. There's two different amounts, and because in our staff report, It said that the applicant submitted a tree removal permit and paid $755 for tree removal. I just kind of assumed that that meant that for the 17 trees that he paid $755, and my thought was, my goodness, he got out. That was a pretty good price. So I was wondering about if were there additional fees or could he plant trees or anything else. So because I'm noticing that these are the 17 trees here on this sheet. So this is 3,000. And then we have additional trees here as well on this that just came down with the storm. So I was kind of curious how the numbers work out.
Well, I apologize for not putting the matrix in. I didn't realize that the staff planners often put the matrix in, so I brought it tonight. The $750 that was collected when the application was filed was to cover staff's time for analysis, you know, related to the biological resources, the trees, and so forth. And at a later time, should this project be approved, when individual building permits are submitted, the remaining fees will be collected based on a number of tree per lot basis.
So as just approving the tentative the map that we're
blues that are more prevalent in the hills, as opposed to totally going with the tree mitigation fee. And with that, does anyone want to make a motion?
I make a motion that we accept staff's recommendations to adopt resolution PC 2009-0033 to approve the proposed vesting tentative map and oak tree removals based on findings and subject to conditions of approval.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion made by Commissioner Sturtevant, seconded by Commissioner Benz.
Can we have a discussion, please?
And yes, we'll take some discussion.
We talked,
Commissioner Schmidt?
We spoke about adding to the conditions the requirement for complying with the Tasker Mitra Water Company conservation measures. Does the first and the second agree to amend their motion to address that?
Yes. Excuse me.
Yes.
Second, yes.
Okay. And we have... didn't see any others. Vice Chair Moreno?
That requirement that we're going to put in to accept the recommendation of the water company, is that sort of putting in a recommendation, or is that you shall not and you will do this? I mean, how does that play out?
My intent was to add either onto the additional map sheet or within the CCNRs language that says that the with the development of each of the lots, that the developers should comport with the conservation measures of the water company. And we could either refer to them specifically, they're online, you can get documents at the water company to address it. Again, I did write down the 8 categories in which they emphasize, and I can give that to Mimi to include. So if we want to have specific language, we can do that way.
No, I'm not looking for specific language. I was just wondering, so it's more of, this is what the water company recommends, and we'd like you to follow these recommendations. I guess what I'm thinking, if someone says, oh, we'd like a little patch.
Amended and amended second. Could I have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Sturtevant?
Yes.
Commissioner Benz?
Yes.
Commissioner Colamarino?
Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Commissioner Ward?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Moreno?
Yes.
And Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Thank you. Okay. Next item. Do we have any commissioner comments and reports?
Yes, I do.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Surprised. I was following up with our last hearing and our discussion about easements, and there was some comments about where and why I was saying that a person can't grant an easement to themselves. So I went into the California Civil Code, and there is a section in the Civil Code that says, in Section 803, the land to which an easement is attached is called the dominant tenement. The land upon which a burden or servitude is laid is called the servient tenement. 804, the servitude can be created only by one who has vested estate in the servient tenement. And 805, a servient thereon cannot be held by the owner of the servient tenement. So essentially, you can't grant yourself your own easement. Typically, how jurisdictions get around working with this is that there will be easement agreements or restrictive covenants that are created that are recorded and then carry with the property. And then when the property is sold to someone else, then the easement automatically gets created at that point. So there is a state law in the civil code that says thou shalt not grant easements to oneself.
Might I ask you to read that again, the language of the legislation again, please?
803 starts, the land to which an easement is attached is called the dominant tenement, and the land upon which a burden or servitude is laid is called the servient tenement. A servitude, this is 804.
That's 804, okay.
Cannot be created by one who has a vested estate in the servient tenement. 805, a servitude thereon cannot be held by the owner of the servient tenement. Use for an easement to go back there, that type of a thing. I just wanted to kind of carry on that discussion, and maybe the city could change the language of not granting easements and instead refer to restrictive covenants or easement agreements instead.
Okay, thank you. Any other reports or comments? Okay, I have a comment. I'd like to thank Director Frace for seeing that we got the information on the La Plaza Theater Corrections applicant meeting, and I'd kind of like an update. Is there anything transpired on this? Is it still in the applicant's court?
Still in the applicant's court. Staff did meet with the applicant and some of their consultants probably about 3 weeks ago to discuss the corrections, get a little bit more clarification. They are still working on it. It looks like the traffic and parking issue will take a little bit of time for them to actually prepare that, so it sounds like that's what they're working on.
Okay. Thank you. No one else? Then Director Frace, do you have a report for us this evening?
Certainly. So the big news in town is Walmart did submit their revised application, and they did give us a $100,000 deposit to begin the EIR. So the project is underway. We signed contracts with the EIR consultant today, so they're underway. We're working out the timeline, figuring out what the next steps are. The new project is a 117,000 square foot store, still has the grocery store in it. The general merchandise area is a little bit smaller than the previous 160,000 square foot store. The big space savers were the elimination of the Tire Lube Express and the Garden Center. So the actual merchandise retail part of the project really isn't that much smaller than it sounds. It was the elimination of those features that really took out most of that space. Still has the pharmacy with the drive-up window included as well. Project originally was on about 26 acres. Now that's down to about 21 acres. That's going to be devoted to the applicants, Walmart and Rotman, to present their revised project to the public. It won't be a hearing or a formal meeting, but we'll probably have it here in City Hall where we'll let people drop in any time during the day, look at all the plans, ask questions, write comment cards, that sort of stuff. And then we'll have a joint scoping session with the Planning Commission and City Council, where you'll be able to see the project, ask questions, and then take testimony from the public and agencies about their concerns. And that'll be, you know, the first step in getting the EIR up and running.
Chairperson, may I ask
Commissioner Schmidt?
Did the application include, are they retaining the restaurant pads that were up front, or is the new commercial pad in taking place of the restaurant pads?
The commercial pads that are going to be on the south end replace the restaurant pads up front. So there's no pads on the corner or in front of the Walmart project anymore. Those were eliminated to minimize the grading that was required. That was becoming a very expensive part of the project, was the grading on the site.
But those commercial pads, the new areas could be the restaurant locations then?
Still the same size. They're just not on the corner where they're probably as desirable, but they're still on El Camino Real.
With the reduction in the lean and mean store, I haven't been that close to it. 150,000 square feet kind of comes to mind for the property without getting into the general plan amendment. Could that additional, or has that additional square footage been made up in those commercial pads? And so there's 117 for the Walmart and another 33 for commercial pads, including restaurants, or the potential for restaurants.
The plans show an additional 10,000 square feet on the pads. So the whole commercial development potential for the site looks like it's about 127,000 square feet.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Director Frace.
Just a couple other comments, if there's no more Walmart issues. Just kind of following up on the issue of irrigation, landscaping issues, there is a new state requirement that goes into effect on January 1st that requires all cities and counties to apply a fairly stringent requirement to all landscaping irrigation systems for efficiencies. We are going to have to adopt an ordinance. It won't go through the Planning Commission because it's just part of the building code, but that'll probably go to the council as we get that tightened up and figure out exactly what the standards are here locally. We'll pass that on. I know Paso Robles just adopted their ordinance, I think, 2 weeks ago. So all the cities are in the process of adopting a local ordinance. And then we handed out this little book to everybody. It's called The Life of an Oak. And this is a book that we received free from the California Oak Foundation. And it's a real nice book just about, you know, the history of the oaks, how they evolved, and best management practices for caring for them, that sort of thing. So we thought it would be useful to all the planning commissioners, so we handed those out to you as well. And then your next planning commission meeting will be January 5th, so that's in the new year. So just wishing everybody a happy holiday, and we'll see you next year.
Thank you very much, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
to everyone. And that'll conclude 2009.